We had agreed that we would limit debate to 2 minutes, so if somebody can keep time, will you keep time, Deb? Are you still here?
I'm still on, but I'm about to die any minute. My phone's just about out.
Okay. One information, Mr.
Yes, sir?
My question is regarding the hierarchy of authority in the functioning of our governing board. The bylaws are, the next higher authority is state authority. The next hierarchy is an authority, is some legal precedents and so on. And I just want Dan to kind of shed a little light on it. What is the hierarchy of authority here?
Okay, before we go to that, I need to find a timekeeper.
Sure.
Who can...
Ken Freeland, I'll volunteer.
Okay, Ken, can you let us know when there's 30 seconds or 20 seconds left and when we're at time?
Right. How much time do we have left in this discussion?
Question. Hang on. I wrote it down here. Pardon me, everybody. We have negative 8 minutes remaining.
I don't have a negative clock, so I don't think I can help you with that.
That's a new math.
Is there a motion to extend by 8 minutes plus some additional amount of time for...
Mary Burke here. I move to extend by 15 minutes because we have to hear from Dan Siegel yet, and I am on the stack, I know, and I don't know how many others.
Yeah, I'm on the stack.
Okay, so 15
Dave,
minutes.
Can you read the stack?
Yes, I can.
Names?
You want me to read it to you?
Please.
Okay. AC, Lydia, and Ray. And I didn't have Mary.
Okay.
Mary, you want to be on that stack?
Yeah, I had said so. Yeah.
Okay. So we have AC, Lydia, Ray, and Mary.
Point of order.
Yes, Bob.
I heard Starve to made a point of information that he was directing to Dan Siegel. So can that
we'll get
point
to that
be answered?
Yeah, as soon as we extend time by an amount we figure out, I'll go back to that. So 15 minutes has been proposed. Is there any objection? And is anyone willing to lay me odds we're not done in 15 minutes?
Okay.
Okay, hearing no odds, we'll forego that and go back to Sarf's
question.
You
get rich off somebody else. No
Dan,
way.
I can't get rich off any Pacifica director. Come on. Dan, can you comment on or respond to Sarf's question about hierarchy of authorities that govern this question?
Well, yes. I mean, I think within Pacifica, the top of the hierarchy is the national board, and no other individual or group within the organization can overrule the board unless the board has specifically delegated to that individual or group the authority to make a decision on behalf of the board. And of course, any such delegation could be revoked at the board's pleasure. The only authority above the board is the court.
Point of information?
Yes, Teresa?
Are you saying, Dan, that the board has, as a body, has a right to tell an individual that wants something? We as a body say we don't want to give that information out. It's dilatory, or it's silly, or it's too much work for the foundation, or we're not understanding what positive purpose it might have?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying that within Pacifica, given the totality of the legal rights and obligations of the Pacifica Foundation, the board has the highest authority. And of course,
but the board as a whole, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I understood the question to refer to the distinction between the board and perhaps the coordinating committee or the chair or the executive director. And I was simply saying that the board is at the top of that hierarchy. And, of course, the board has the power, if not the right, to violate the law.
Well, I'm not interested in violating the law. My question is, if a director asks for something, does he need to take it to the board and say, I want this information? Does he have a right? I mean, and does the ED have a right to say, board, I'd like you to make a decision on this because, you know, there's some questions here. And does the board have the right to say to the individual, if one director wants something, or let's say if it was even two directors,
yeah, Teresa,
does the board have the right to say that?
There's a stack of people, and I think everybody has questions. So
sorry, I just didn't get the answer to my question.
I just want to ask before we go back to that, Dan, because I think it's a useful question. Sarv, did Dan's understanding of what your question was and his answer, was that responsive to what you had intended?
Just a little bit. Dan's response to within Pacifica is fine. What I meant was also on top of Pacifica National Board, let's suppose that there's an article of incorporation in the state of California. The state of California has authority over the Pacifica National Board, or maybe the courts have authority over both, or whatever. So I was looking for that kind of a hierarchy of authority.
So, Dan, could you answer, see if you could answer that, and then we'll go back and get Teresa's question, and then we'll go to the stack.
Sure. The answer to that question is, you know, there is no individual or agency in the state of California who has the authority to review the decisions of the Pacifica Board and to overrule them. On the other hand, there are various state officials who have the authority to go to court and to ask a court to overrule a decision if the government official believes that Pacifica is making a decision which is unlawful. And as people may recall, in the process of the lawsuits challenging the way in which Pacifica was being run several years ago, one of the lawsuits was brought in the name of the state of California, just as one of the lawsuits was brought by 20-some-odd members of local boards. But there's, if I understand Sarb's question, though, there's no government official who can come in and overrule Pacifica. If there's a challenge to the board's action, it would have to be addressed in court.
Thanks.
Does that answer the question, Sarb?
Yeah. What I'm, in addition, I also was thinking of, I know that each case that goes to the court, it comes under different circumstances and context. And it's very, very difficult to generalize. But in some ways, are there any legal precedents that are set that are so broad and so glaring that if Pacifica Board says to one director that this information should not be given for whatever reasons, because it would be misused or whatever the reasons are, that somehow they'd be violating that big precedent, court precedent?
David, do you want me to answer that?
Please, go ahead, and then I think we need to get to Teresa's question and then back to the
Okay. The right of a director to access to Pacifica's internal information is virtually without limit. There are circumstances in which Pacifica may deny a board member access, but those are rather limited and well-defined.
Okay, and then with respect, I think that answers Teresa's question to a degree as well, does it not? Teresa, can you succinctly rephrase your question?
My question is, if a director wants something, does the director have a responsibility to the body such that the body can say to the director, we don't feel that to give you the information is not in the best interest of the foundation, it's a dilatory request, or it's too expensive to provide this information, or I want to know whether the body needs to be consulted or can tell the director, no, we're deciding as a group not to give that information out to you.
Well, again, the body can decide that. The question would remain as to whether the body made that decision legally. To be specific, the body would, or if it's the executive director who is entrusted with this responsibility, the body would have to have more than a hunch that the director was going to do something improper with the information. The law is very, very clear. In fact, it surprised me to an extent to see how clear and strong the legal obligation of the corporation is to allow members of the board access, and that includes copying right, and that's actually right in the statute.
I just want to thank those other board members who patiently waited. I'll just say that the questions to Dan aren't exactly points of information with respect to clarifying certain things in the motion, so I'd like to go through the stack now. AC?
Yes, I wanted to say that, first of all, I would hope that this board would consider what it would mean to have the general public that we depend upon to finance our organization to get the impression that they cannot make a donation and keep it confidential. Because I think all of us know that there are many people who call into these radio stations and say that, anonymous call.
Mm-hmm.
We get at least 15%, I guess, or more, of the people calling in anonymously. You're going to give them the impression that they can't be anonymous, then obviously that's going to affect the bottom line for us.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's a political decision that we have to make. And we should make. On the other hand, I'd like to remind people, having worked in both sides of the Congress, that the members of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate or the House has a right to restrict information to even the remainder of Congress under certain circumstances. I'd like to have the attorney to address that question. Because it doesn't mean that every director or every member of Congress in this instance has automatic access to that information without going through a process to get that information. So there's no such thing as free for all in that. And these members are certified. These members, there's a hearing on their qualifications to be on, for example, the Foreign Relations Committee or the Armed Services Committee.
20 seconds.
They do make reports to the national body, but what I'm saying is that there are confidential rules there. But the primary thing I'm saying also is that what will this mean politically to have people that they can't represent, they can't donate to you if they don't want to be known that they are.
Time.
And so that's all I'm saying, is that I think we ought to consider that before we give a director, include myself as a director, the commission, to find out a donor list and get that information.
Thank you.
I'd like to be on the stack, please, Ken.
On the list is
Lydia.
According to Lydia, the next person on the stack is Lydia. I just can't.
Sorry, I heard
Lydia.
You say AC
no,
Lydia
you're right.
Ray.
You're right.
Okay.
I just found my list.
Did you get me on the stack, Dave?
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, so.
Again, Bob.
Yep.
Okay, so
we're
I was.
Need another extension of time.
Okay, may I?
We need another extension.
Oh, we need
of
an
time.
Extension. I moved to extend. How many people do we have? Just those three? How many
sure,
do we have now?
We're only at 10:55, Dave.
I
had written
12:41 on the East Coast.
Yep.
Okay,
12:41 on the East Coast.
I moved to extend by 10 minutes.
According to my watch, when I wrote it down, we had a minute and a half left, which is not enough time for Lydia. Can we have another 10 minutes to discuss the item?
So moved.
Any objection? No objection. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so I think that what we need, I appreciate Ambrose's bringing this forward, and I think it's because he can recognize the fact that we don't have policies regarding this. I think that we discovered that our communication policy has lapsed. It was sunsetted some time ago. We need to revisit that, in my opinion. We need to develop a policy that also addresses things as to whether or not we're going to sell the list. I've heard some donors raise that issue. And however, I am the director of a nonprofit. Executive director of a nonprofit. I'm also on the board of another nonprofit. And I wouldn't last as a director if I denied access from my board members to the donor list. They review it for different reasons. I have never seen it abused. I'm not saying it couldn't be,
but, you know, they've never asked copies in terms of having a take-home copy or anything of that nature. There are a number of reasons for that. I think our communications policy was sound for the, just so that the board knows why the lists are being requested. So that if it is because we suspect underwriting is going on or because, you know, whatever the reason is, I think that that's a very useful and appropriate tool to have at our disposal. And, but I, you know, whether we like it or not, and I'm uncomfortable with it myself. I mean, I personally, as a donor, would like to preserve the my own privacy. However, that's just not the way that the whole California corporate code was written, and it's very broad, and it applies to all of the nonprofits that I deal with. So as a donor, I think it's also appropriate for us to become educated so we can inform people making donations. But if they make other nonprofit donations, they may already know this.
Next person on the stack is Ray. Sarv, can you take over for 2 minutes? I have to excuse myself. I'll be right back. Can you? The next person's Ray, then Mary, Ken, and Bob. And I'm just excusing myself for just a moment, and I'll come back. And
go for it.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Ray, why don't you go ahead, and I'll be back in a moment. If I'm not back by the time Ray's
yes,
going, Mary, you're
continue.
Next.
Okay. This is Dan on the phone?
Yes,
yes,
he's on the phone.
Okay, hi. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I distinctly remember early opinions that we got that were a bit, I would say, were different from yours, where we were saying that they were broad privileges as directors, but that they were not unlimited, that certainly they would apply to personnel information, such as somebody's I'm assuming we all would agree on that, you know, somebody's medical status and so on. But I don't remember the specific, but I remember that there was ample room for even a policy to be set up to make those exceptions rather than a broad right where pretty much these are just mentioned the policy. You don't even need policy because that individual would decide they don't want to use it and just go ahead and ask for whatever they wanted. So can you clarify that for me? And also maybe tell me, is California law different from other areas that way? I mean, New York, let's say.
Okay, well, first of all, let me say that Greg shared with me a rather long opinion that was prepared by other attorneys for Pacifica. And because I was somewhat surprised by it, I had one of my associates review the law to make sure that it was correct. And we agree that the opinion that Greg obtained was accurate. And it does provide that directors have the right to inspect and they have the right to copy. Whether that would extend to personnel records is something that we haven't looked at. And I can tell you that under the California law, personnel records do have a special privacy right attached to them. So I'm pretty confident that the law is what we're saying it is, whether we particularly agree with it or not. In order for the board or the foundation to deny access, it would have to have some basis for believing that the records were going to be used in an improper fashion or, you know, in a way that damaged Pacifica's fiscal situation. This is not to say, by the way, that the board would be forbidden, for example, from enacting strong sanctions, including monetary sanctions, that would apply to anyone who misused the records, because clearly the records cannot be shared, they cannot be sold, they cannot be used in any way which is detrimental to Pacifica's interests. So a fiscal penalty that would apply to anyone who did misuse the records would be, I believe, a lawful exercise of the board's authority. And I don't know what the law is in other states.
Was that a response to Ray's question?
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, you're next.
Yeah, I have Ambrose's concerns about the donors. They don't want that information to be given out. Now, is there nothing in the law of any kind or anywhere that protects these people who are also legal members of the foundation? Why would anyone ever need to to copy donors' names if it was not to do further research on them or to use them. Copying financial information is one thing, but copying the names of the donors and the amounts that they donated, is there... If the financial impact could be huge, we're coming to a fund drive, and I will be spending time there, and the people will ask me, and if I tell them, no, your information can be given to any one of 25 people, and they can copy it and do what they want. After the fact, we could go after a director who was remiss. The damage has been done, and we've lost I don't know how much revenue. We depend on these people for our sole money. Now, I'm really horribly concerned about this. I cannot understand. You know, whether we took the addresses out, anyone can find that if they want to. So that's not a protection for anybody. Maybe it's a legal stop if we got sued. But if we get sued, it's already way too late down the road. We need to protect our donors' rights somehow. Do they have any rights? That's my question for Dan.
Dan?
Well, again, Mary, I mean, they have rights not to have their personal information abused or misused. Again, a director may have a complete right to inspect and copy the donors' list, but he or she has no right to share that information with non-directors, to make that information public, or to use it in a way that harms Pacifica. But I think, you know, if I may for a second, the concept here is that people are donating to Pacifica, and the people who are in charge of Pacifica are you, not the staff, not clerical people who open the envelopes, but you're in charge. And so the policy of the law appears to be that if anyone is entitled to this information, it's
Dad.
You. You know, I mean, you would have perfect right, for example, to say, and I'm not suggesting you do this, that no one in the national office is allowed to see this information. That would be within your rights. But it's because you have the power and the responsibility to make sure that the organization is run properly. You have the right to that information.
But I can't restrict other directors. Is
Mary,
that correct?
Mary,
no
Mary,
way.
Mary, you're out of order. Yes, Stacey?
Yeah, I was going to submit a point of order. I just wanted to find out from the attorney the question that I raised about the highest legislative body in the country having the right to have committees have confidential information. And that's one thing. And then secondly, whether or not... now, we do have a right, as I understand his reasoning, to prevent directors who can vote by the majority, that the directors cannot have access to that information, can't we?
Since you didn't get an answer to your question when you asked it,
Mary,
huh? You did not get an answer to that question from the attorney. I'll accept it as a point of order. Dan, could you answer, and then it's Ken's.
Sure. I mean, you know, again, I'm not... And I don't pretend to be an expert on national security laws and the rights that deal with maintaining the secrecy of certain governmental information. But I'm sure that that's what the question refers to. And, you know, there are many, many laws that restrict information and prevent its distribution and prevent people who are not authorized or don't have security clearances from looking at that information, but it's important for members of the board to see that what we're dealing with is not national security information. We're dealing with something which is addressed very specifically and unambiguously by the California Nonprofit Corporation Law, and that's the law we're dealing with, not a law that deals with national security.
But do we have the authority to prevent...
Point of order.
I have a point of information.
Yes, what's your point of order, Ken?
I believe I was next on the stick.
Yeah, I'm going to sustain that. Go ahead, Ken.
Can get the gold.
First of all, I really want to warmly welcome Dan Siegel to the board meeting and thank him for bringing his voice to these deliberations. I would like to express my kind of shock in some of the pronouns that I've heard used in this discussion tonight from some board members. For example, when somebody says, if we decide not to give the information out to a board member. That, to me, suggests a complete misunderstanding of the board and who's internal and who's external.
I'm going to ask you to speak to the substance, not to whether or not board members understand or misunderstand.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
It seems to me that every board member is the most internal to Pacifica that you can get. And to and the idea of discussing of describing a board member as being somehow out there or somebody to whom something is given, when the bylaws give an absolute right of information to those with the highest fiduciary responsibility, is an extreme misstatement. It simply doesn't comprehend the nature of the fiduciary responsibility and the hierarchy that was discussed earlier. I just wanted to say that, I appreciate the clarity that Dan is bringing to this debate, but I also think that we need to discuss the difference between access and confidentiality. I think if we listen closely to the language in the proposal or the resolution, whatever it is, that Ambrose is reading from, it's very clear in there that confidentiality that access is assumed on the part of board members. But board members are then required to maintain confidentiality. And that's the difference. Yes, you have access to information, but yes, you have to respect the confidentiality of it. And when we tell donors that their information will not be given out, we don't mean it won't be given out to board members. We mean it will not be given out to third parties. It will not be sold. It will not be shared with other institutions. It will be kept within our institution. But we are that institution. Thanks.
I just want to say that if you feel that there is something implied in the motion where there's disagreement on that implication, then it would be wise to make clarifying.
I don't think there's anything in that motion that implies anything like that, but
okay.
I've heard Ambrose imply that, and I think that it's a mistake. I think it's right.
Okay. There. Bob?
Okay. I'd like to get some clarification.
Hang on a second, Bob.
Yeah.
Somebody's on probably a headset, and they're probably walking outdoors in the wind. If that describes you, could you mute yourself using?
Tell me how to mute myself, David.
Pound one, and that's a. Thank you, and
okay.
That's a toggle, and you can get back on by when you need to speak by doing
Mr.
that.
Mr. Chair, we're at time.
We're at time. May we have a motion to extend time?
I'd like to have a motion to extend the alarm tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I'll second to postpone.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone until
I second.
When?
Lydia second.
Until when? Is this a motion to postpone indefinitely or a motion to postpone to a time certain?
I'd say indefinitely, which is not to take it off the table, but just because I think we need a lot more information, and we're not likely to have it all within the week.
Okay. Unless since we're at time, if there's not a motion to extend time, then what I'm going to do is I think we'll move straight to a vote on the motion to postpone.
No, Mr. Chair, point of order. Mr. Chair, this kind of thing is done too frequently. And it's really not respecting the democratic process. You may not put a debatable motion to the body without debate. It's a violation of the essential principles of Roberts. And I've seen this done too many times where this is done right at the end. And besides, I announced earlier that time was out. The debate was over. The time for this discussion was over. It's illegal to bring something in there without extending debate, and you know that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to warn the member that last comment is...
I apologize for the tone, but I don't apologize for the content. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
When you say you know that I know something...
I apologize for that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. My own understanding of this is different, but I'm not willing to spend the time of the body fighting it. I will
look this up in between meetings. My understanding is that when a motion is ready to be acted on, a motion to postpone is in order. But I will check on these things.
Not without the meeting.
You're out of order. In order to deal with this, I would like to ask that we have a motion to extend time for 5 minutes to debate the motion to postpone. May I have such a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there any? Is there a second?
I'll second the motion
okay.
to postpone, and so that we haven't done anything all night long.
This is a, excuse me. I'm asking for a second
we have
to the motion to extend time.
I move to adjourn,
for five
Mr. Chair.
Minutes.
Motion
been
the to
motion
adjourn.
To adjourn. Is there a second to the motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay, will you call the roll, please, Madam Secretary?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And this is whose motion?
Warren Lewis.
Sandy.
Sandy's motion?
Before you call the roll, I've got to check one thing on when it's in order.
Who moved?
Whether it's in order.
Point of information, who moved to adjourn?
Sandy.
Sandy.
Why, is there another motion on
there's
the floor?
There's a motion on the floor, but
is.
it looks like this is in order. So,
I think the motion. I think the member has to be recognized before he can make a motion to adjourn.
I don't think that's correct. But I will look it up. Why don't you? If you can provide a reference, that would be helpful. I'll look.
Okay.
While we're calling the roll, I will look it up and I will. I'll make a ruling after we go
after
ahead.
After we adjourn.
No, I will not declare the meeting adjourned until.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I have it on page 6 of the tenant pages. Adjourn ordinary case in societies in order when another has the floor. The answer is no.
Yeah, I don't recall that anybody had been recognized to the floor.
Pardon?
I don't recall having recognized anyone to speak at that time.
You didn't.
Right. So then it's not a question that someone else had the floor.
We were acting on a motion, Mr. Chair.
That's
we were reporting
true,
a motion to the...
Page 228 is pending motion when a motion is pending.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Effective of adjournment on pending business or on completed order business. When the adjournment closes the session, and an assembly having its next regular business session within a quarterly time interval, and having no members whose term expire before the next regular session, the complete order of business is followed at the next regular session. If a question was pending at the time of adjournment, it's taken up as the first item under unfinished business. Resuming the question at exactly where it was previously interrupted.
What did I do?
So I believe it is in order, and let's see.
They went to commercial.
Yeah, they went to commercial. So let's go to a roll call on the motion to adjourn.
All right.
Page 227 to 229 for those interested.
All right. Sarv Randhawa. Sarv. I'll come back. Rosalinda.
Pass.
Mary Berg.
No.
LaVarne Williams. LaVarne, I'll come back. Patty Heffley, I'll come back. Ray LaForest.
Pass.
Okay, Bob Letterer.
Yes, at 1 a.m.
Oh,
Lisa
no.
Davis.
Yes, also at 1 o'clock a.m. I have to
Alan
get up
Minsky.
In the morning.
Alan,
pound one to get back on.
Don White.
Oh, it's Alan here?
Yes.
So this was adjourned. We would have no executive session then, just the meeting's over, right?
Correct.
No. No, don't we have to then convene it for executive?
No. Nope.
This is just a public session.
This would end tonight's meeting, as far as I understand it.
How is that possible? You can.
Point of information?
Yeah. Yes.
We were going to have to adjourn before the executive session.
Exactly.
We're going to...
I don't understand.
We'd have to convene the executive session and then move to adjourn again if that's
correct.
What we decide to do.
It's 1 a.m., y'all.
No, I know. I mean, we would do that, but we have to procedurally go through this.
This is
point of order.
Excuse me. I believe the intent is to adjourn the entire rest of tonight's business. So I'm going to rule that a vote in favor of adjournment adjourns the entire thing before us. If this vote fails, then we can all entertain a motion to adjourn to executive session. Go ahead with the roll call, please.
I vote yes. Yes to adjourn.
Alan Minsky, yes to adjourn. Don White?
Well, out of respect to the 1 o'clock folks, I'm going to vote yes.
Yeah, that's the same reason for my vote.
We could not have debate while we're voting.
Sorry. Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Teresa Allen says no. Sandy Weinman?
Yes.
Ken Freeland?
No.
Jeff Shafto?
Yes.
Rip Robin?
No.
Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Rob Robinson? I'll come back. Serena Shakir is gone. Sar Rondawa?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams? LaVarne?
Epstein.
Epstein, thank you. Patty Heffley?
No.
All right. And Rob Robinson?
No.
And
Ray LaForest.
And Ray LaForest passed? What do you say?
Yeah, and I say yes now.
Yes.
Barely.
Okay, thank you. One.
Wait, before you announce the results, I'd like to ask people to hold on for just a moment because I need to ask them a question about noticing the next meeting and get your permission. You're allowed to waive phone notice, and you can save Teresa and I a lot of time if I can get you on record. It doesn't have to be in a meeting.
I can't hear you, Dave.
After adjournment, if we adjourn, I'd like to ask everybody hold on for just a moment while I ask people if they'll waive telephonic notice of the next meeting because I have to do it between now and midnight.
We'll do that, Dave.
For our next meeting. Can you go ahead and read the
All right. The result? Motion to adjourn passes 11 yes, 6 no.
Okay, then we're adjourned. Now, could you do me the favor? What I was just saying is, if people will affirm that they'll waive the right of telephonic notice, then I can send an email to the full board with the notice of meeting. It's going to take me about half an hour to construct what's on our next agenda based on what we've done tonight. So it would be very difficult to provide telephonic notice. Could you call the roll of everybody on the line right now, Teresa, and ask them if they would waive right of telephonic notice?
Ambrose, yes. Good night, y'all.
Good night,
Ambrose.
Sarv,
yes.
Okay. Wait, let me go in order here, okay?
No.
Rip Robbins?
Yes.
All right.
Good night.
A.C. Good Bird?
Night. Yes, yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
I think that was a yes. Sarv Rondawa?
Yes.
Rosalinda Montes Palacios?
Yes.
Mary Bird?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
Yes.
Patty Heffley?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Bob Lederer? Yes, thank you. Lisa Davis?
Yes.
David Adelson?
You bet.
Alan Minsky?
Alan Minsky. When is our next meeting?
A week from tonight.
Same time, right?
Same time.
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes, if Dave promises to put unfinished business, including the process for attorneys, on the agenda.
Don
and,
White.
And any executive session issues.
Don email White?
Me. Yes.
Email me.
Teresa Allen says yes.
Oh,
Sandy Weinman?
Yes, thank you.
Ken Freeland?
Yes.
Deb Shafto?
Yes.
All right.
Okay,
unanimous.
Teresa,
whoever's here.
Yeah, when I send this out, you need to send me a list of whoever wasn't here, and we need to call them to provide telephonic notice for the meeting. And I wasn't kidding, Lydia. It's hard to keep track of everything I need to do for this agenda. So if you can email me a reminder of what you just said, it will help me.
Say goodnight, Dave.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, Dave.
Good night,
Dan. Welcome aboard.
Good night,
Dave.
Good night.
Dave.